Talk to, no, I won't tell that one, Bob Roden. This conference has a most appropriate theme. You all know what it is. It's time for youth. President Kennedy's address, the three R's, revolution, reaction, relevancy, has pointed up some very important things for us. And I was very interested in listening to what he said we could do in terms of reaction. We could ignore things, or we could suppress them, or we could reconcile them. Now this session, the members of this symposium are going to talk about some of the nitty-gritty. In other words, how do we reconcile some of the things that are facing us in the college scene. Our topic for this symposium is in the form of a question. What is assist? Well, I'm going to answer that just real quick, and then maybe we could just quit the symposium. But really, assist is an acronym for Associated Students Survey of Instructors Teaching. Happy coincidence. The word assist also means help. It also means to aid. And that's exactly what the promoters of assist had in mind when they started this program, what they have in mind now, and that is to assist. To assist with the improvement of instruction. Now here with me on this platform to tell us about assist are two faculty members and two students. Each member of this symposium will have approximately 5 minutes to make a formal presentation, following which we hope to have some time for some questions. So don't just sit there passively as these 5 minute presentations are being made. Listen to them carefully, critically, analytically, and with the thought in mind that you want to stand up and ask a very perceptive question. We hope we'll have some questions. In brief, the four presentations will cover these topics and in this sequence. Number one, the aspirations of students. Number two, the history of assist. Number three, faculty evaluation board. And four, pilot studies. Our first speaker then will present the student point of view on assist. This student has spent many, many hours on this project, and he's in a very good position to describe for us the student's aspirations, frustrations, problems, and so forth related to assist. He was nominated by the 1967-68 ASI President Rush Hill and appointed by Cal Poly President Bob Kennedy to serve on the Faculty Evaluation Board. He is chairman of the Student Committee on Assist. He is an industrial technology student scheduled to graduate this coming December. Now, there are a lot of other things I could say about him, but remember the theme is time for youth, and so I'm going to give him a little time to just say what he did this summer. Before he starts his presentation, I want him to take maybe 30 seconds and tell us what he did this summer. Terry Record.
Well, I was going to start right out with my speech, but that kind of threw me for a loop. I was working here in town for the Union Oil Company of California, their Northern Division Pipeline headquarters. That was an 8-hour day, and then another 4 hours tacked onto that out at the airport as an aircraft mechanic. So that covers my summer. Pretty full. I'm glad Dr. Andrews told you what ASSIST means, because I probably couldn't right now. Student ratings of their instructors go back at least as far as the University of Texas and Purdue University of 1925. Since those early programs, innumerable institutions have adopted various types of programs, and this program ASSIST, which started 3 years ago and is now conducted by the Faculty Evaluation Board and the ASSIST Committee, has maintained as its objectives the following: to provide constructive evaluation to the instructors from their students as a form of positive feedback for their use in instructor improvement, and to increase the students' awareness of their responsibility and opportunity in the educational system. The students will profit from this survey by participating in it in evaluating their instructors. But it is the instructor who will profit by using the results of the survey to his own benefit. It is the instructor who will receive the results of his survey, and it is the instructor who will decide on how best to implement its suggestions. In answer to a question which has been asked many times recently, the survey is not a critique of course content, but it is a surveying of instructors' effectiveness in getting course material across to students. It is the continuing concern of the Faculty Evaluation Board, the ASSIST Committee, and I hope it will be of the faculty, to make this the most effective and rewarding program possible. An example of this concern is the amount of time which faculty and students have put into the choice of appropriate questions for this survey. Major requirements in the selection of these questions are: questions should be answerable effectively by students, and questions should cover as many areas of teaching as possible. Now, as you may well imagine, this later requirement gave us some difficulty in choosing, since there are so many types of teaching methods in effect. But to make the survey fit each teaching situation more effectively, there will be most likely questions added to the systematic questions through which each instructor may fit the survey to his own needs. The student survey has encountered numerous difficulties in its 3 years of development, not the least of which was adequate and effective communication with faculty members. In a few of the ASSIST's early communications with the faculty, the brevity and syntax used were accidentally such as to allow incorrect interpretation by the faculty, and thus unintentionally they might have misjudged the program. This has, of course, caused numerous faculty members to stand aloof from the program in its development. But those faculty and students who are involved in the program have found increasing cooperation from those faculty members who have better knowledge of the program by learning more about it from those who are involved. increasing cooperation has been gained from faculty who have gained a better understanding of the objectives, safeguards, and procedures of the ASSIST program. As chairman of the committee, the Students ASSIST Committee, I invite all faculty members to contact us regarding any phase of the program on which they wish information. Though we sincerely would like to get in touch with each of you individually, there are too few of us to offer enough time to do this adequately. We will be sending out information via the faculty bulletin and the student newspaper, and you, I hope, will get in touch with us through the Associated Students box number 63. By working together towards a quality program, I'm sure that the faculty and ASSIST will be able to contribute to Cal Poly's increasingly higher level of excellence in higher education. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terry. The next speaker is very well qualified to speak to the topic of the history of the development of ASSIST here at Cal Poly. He's been the faculty advisor of the ASSIST program since its very beginning. He's a member of the English department, and I was very interested in what he did this summer, but I'm not going to give him an opportunity to relate it because this is not time for faculty. This happened to be his quarter to teach, and so he taught here at Cal Poly all this summer. Bob Hewitt.
Thank you, Dale. I'm glad he told you what I did this summer. Just to add a little bit to what Terry has said, many of you are familiar with programs such as ASSIST if you've come here from other campuses. There are numerous programs like this in effect, and as Terry told you, they go back some 40 years. I could add to Purdue and the other school that he mentioned, University of Washington, my own alma mater, Montana State University, San Jose State, and LA State right here in California. And the programs have a common basis of similarity, while they do vary somewhat from campus to campus. And student and faculty reaction has been varying, but seems to have a common basis of similarity, too. For me, Dale Anders has told you, ASSIST goes back not quite 3 years, just approximately 2 years. And I well remember the afternoon when I first was introduced to ASSIST. At that time, it was in the hands of two Cal Poly students, husband and wife, Gary and Sharon Whitney. And Sharon was a social science major. I'm a little embarrassed to say I've forgotten right now just what Gary's major was. But Gary came into the office and told me he had talked to Willard Peterson, my own department chairman, who had sent him down to talk to me, and they wanted a faculty advisor. And I think I was standing in the doorway, and by the time he finished telling me what he wanted to tell me, I'd backed way into the center of the office. And my reaction was a little bit negative. But he wanted me to attend a meeting that evening, and I agreed to attend. And somehow in the course of the afternoon, I developed a splitting migraine headache. And when I attended the meeting, my head was really throbbing. And I thought, wondered how I was going to endure this. But by the end of the meeting, that headache had disappeared completely. It was really an exhilarating experience. There must have been 10 or 12 students there. And I just have to say I was deeply impressed with their ability to articulate and the determination, the zeal, the enthusiasm that they expressed, as well as the soundness of mind. So this left me with a very good feeling. And we had subsequent meetings which involved working out fine little details, how to present this questionnaire, how to set it up, how to use IBM cards. This is being done by students, mind you. And how much participation to include, whether to make this compulsory, whether to make it voluntary, We studied a goodly number of similar programs at other campuses, and this took up the major portion of our meetings for the rest of that academic year. During the winter quarter, incidentally, of that year, a trial run was made. Cindy Airy will tell you more about this. I think it was something like 35 or 40 instructors, all of whom volunteered to participate in this trial run, see how this would work. And some of us in that program turned all of our classes over to this, and some turned one or two over. In the spring quarter, Dr. Joyce Stone, who I believe is now down at Pomona, spent about 2.5 hours at the committee discussing the pros and cons, and at that time he stated his objections to the particular questionnaire that was being used, and then the subject came up as to whether to publish a book, like San Jose State publishes, for example, or LA State, something that the you could buy for 50 cents or a dollar off campus, and it will give you a little rundown. This seems to be one of the controversial aspects surrounding ASSIST. But the year ended without any particular conclusion there. During the summer, apparently it was decided that the ASSIST group would not publish a catalog of faculty members evaluating them. Last year for me was a somewhat inconspicuous year. The Whitneys both graduated, and the leadership passed from Gary and Sharon into the hands of Steve Kessler, a very, very capable fellow. And then Steve graduated during the middle of the year, and at that point the leadership passed into the hands of Terry Record and Cindy Airy, both very, very capable students. And during that time, my role grew increasingly less conspicuous, which I think is quite appropriate. My role at this point became one of signing documents to permit ASSIST to get things either mimeographed or Xeroxed or to purchase supplies, and to answer any questions that might come up to be a sort of a general arbitrator. Last spring, another trial run was done by the ASSIST. This time, the ASSIST people chose their own volunteers, and I'll let Cindy talk to you about the results of that. I did not participate in that particular trial run, but I believe as it now stands, this will be voluntary. I don't believe there are any immediate plans to publish any book of the staff members. And I believe that Dr. Kennedy's talk this morning kind of provides a dramatic background for what ASSIST is doing. I believe that the whereas ASSIST is not new, it is new on Cal Poly, it seems to be picking up steam across the country. More and more colleges are getting involved. I think it is part, in a general way, of the new student protest. I don't mean to be pejorative in any sense. I just think it's just part of this. Students feeling that they want to be part of what's going on the campuses. And I, for one, do not fear ASSIST one whit. I might add that being faculty advisor to this group has advantages as well as disadvantages. One of the disadvantages is having to go along with this. But one of the advantages is that it has a sort of a built-in halo that goes along with it. I can't fool any of my colleagues here. They know me too well. But there are some students who think of themselves, golly, if he's faculty advisor to ASSIST, he must be pretty good. So as my youngest daughter would say, I kind of like it that way.
We've heard Faculty Evaluation Board. What is the Faculty Evaluation Board? Here to answer that question for us and to comment on the evaluating or evaluation instrument is a member of the Faculty Evaluation Board. He's a 1965-66 recipient of the Outstanding Teachers Award, and he is a member of our Department of Mathematical Sciences. We don't care what you did this summer. I know you took a trip, George, but we don't want to hear about it. Dr. George Mack.
Thank you, Dale. To understand the Faculty Evaluation Board and its role in this evaluation process, you actually have to look back a little bit. As Terry mentioned, the ASSIST program groped for several years in finding its way, in identifying what it wanted to do and how it wanted to do it. Then on January 23rd of this year, an ASI document was presented to the Faculty Sub-Council of the Faculty Staff Council, and this set forth the procedures for faculty evaluation as the ASI saw them. This document was amended and passed by that sub-council and then by the Faculty Staff Council, and it was then presented to and approved by the Student Affairs Council. This then became the document that gave the procedures for faculty evaluation and how they would be conducted. Actually, the document has no name as far as I can determine, so I'll just call it the procedures. It sets up the Faculty Evaluation Board, of which I'm a member, and it lays all the ground rules. As I go along, I'll explain some of those procedures to you. In working out future evaluations and its role in conducting them, the Faculty Evaluation Board, frankly, is somewhat concerned about the flexibility and the workability and even the appropriateness of some of these procedures in the document. And the board is now wrestling with what steps should be taken if it's deemed appropriate or desirable in the feeling of the board to recommend changes to those procedures. There's no provision in the document for any changes, so presumably any changes would be sent to the Faculty Staff Council and the Student Affairs Council, as they're the bodies that have approved the document. The procedures set up as a ruling body of the evaluation process, the Faculty Evaluation Board. And this, they give it the responsibility to keep the program current and functioning properly. The board consists of three faculty members who have received the Outstanding Teacher Award and have been appointed by the chairman of the Faculty Staff Council, and three students recommended by the Student Executive Committee and appointed by the Student Affairs Council each year. Last year's board members were Mr. Terry Record, whom you've already heard, Ms. Cindy Airy, whom you will hear, and Mr. Larry Fritz, the student members. And the faculty members were Mr. John Miriam, the Ag Engineering Department, Dr. Bill Curtis, Education, and myself. Now for some of the procedures. One is that an evaluation is to be made in every lecture and in some lab classes of every instructor annually during the last 2 weeks before lab finals every winter quarter. The board wonders how practical and feasible this is going to be because, among other things, the monstrous IBM tabulation and data rejection job which this whole thing generates is pretty time-consuming and also expensive. Expensive in terms of computer time. Secondly, the records of the evaluations that the board sees will all be kept by coded numbers rather than instructors' names, so that the board members will not be able to identify them as they work with the data. The coded results of each evaluation are to be sent from a central clerical source directly to each faculty member concerned, so he will get the results back of his evaluation. In addition to answering specific questions on the form with a scaled mark, students will have an opportunity to make comments themselves, and the instructor will receive these comments. A list of the higher scoring and the lower scoring instructors in his department will be sent to each department head. This, of course, will be by coded numbers, but then he'll have the code for his department. If the department head wishes to see the actual evaluations, then of course he has to ask the permission of each instructor because only the instructor has those. The procedures provide for a publication of the higher scoring instructors' evaluations to be made available by the next fall quarter with the permission of each instructor involved. As I give you these things, I'm by and large quoting from the document of procedures. Since no specification is made as to how this is going to be done, the Faculty Evaluation Board will have to determine how do we decide on the higher scoring instructors. That is, will it be the top 10%, 30%, 50%? Will it be done college-wide, by schools, by departments? These are all things with which the Faculty Evaluation Board is now wrestling. You can see that the Faculty Evaluation Board has quite a job ahead for it. As Warren Burgess said this morning, there are a number of areas in which students are going to be heard. And this, I feel, is one of them. We all know that faculty evaluation is one area in which students are going to be heard. I've been involved really only very briefly in the ASSIST program and the Faculty Evaluation Board just since I was appointed by Faculty Staff Council Chairman this March. But already, I'm convinced that this is the best way to hear the students within a framework which has been approved by the Faculty Staff Council and by the Student Affairs Council, rather than some off-campus or underground activity. The students involved in this program are not rabble-rousing students, but they're sincere and they're hardworking, and by and large, they're honor students. I feel that they really do have a firm desire to assist in the improvement of instruction, and they're certainly putting a lot of energy into it. All the bugs are not out of this program by any means, but toward that end, a pilot evaluation has been held since the adoption of these procedures, and Ms. Airy will be telling something about that. Thank you.
Thank you, George. You very nearly introduced the next speaker for me. As a matter of fact,
there's only one left.
That's right. And probably the most charming one, without a doubt the most charming one. As George said, our last speaker is going to report on the pilot study that was conducted this last year. And from the remarks that have been made already, you know that she's on the Student Assist Committee and that she's on the Faculty Evaluation Board. And that early last year, she was a member of the Joint Faculty Committee that was charged with developing the ways and means of conducting the faculty evaluations. But I can tell you a little bit new, and that is, most of you don't know, she is a biological sciences major. Yeah. And you probably don't know her grade point average, and it's pretty darn good, I'll tell you. And you probably don't know what she did this summer, but the people at our table know, and it was so interesting that I said, by golly, before she gives her presentation as background so that you'll know just a little bit about this young lady, and you'll get a good clue about it by hearing how she spent her summer. And so before you give your regular remarks, Miss Cynthia, Cindy Airy, would you tell us a little bit about what you did this summer? Cindy.
Thank you, Dr. Andrews. Well, I did something a little different this summer than most people do. I got a fellowship from the California Heart Association and worked at a private research institution in Pasadena. And for weekends, I got to cut up newborn rat hearts and make slides and do staining, and I had a very interesting summer, but it was not run-of-the-mill. I'd like to tell you that at each of your tables there is a group of ASSIST questionnaires that were used in the pilot program conducted last winter quarter. If you'd like to look and just read over carefully. The ASSIST program has been changing for the last 3 years. Several pilot programs have been presented, and I've only been involved in the last one, which happened to be last winter quarter. The primary purposes of the pilot programs have been to review and consider all phases of the evaluation program, to try to find which types of presentation of questions, answers, and comments can best be used and to establish methods and techniques for the permanent annual student survey of teaching, students survey of instructors teaching. In other words, the pilot program should both debug and steer faculty evaluations toward an ideal situation. An example of change in the program is in the use of comments. In the earliest pilot programs, comments were solicited to be edited for use in a publication. However, now comments are written on the back of the IBM cards and handed directly to the instructors after the evaluations have taken place. In the course of the pilot studies, many problems have become apparent, and both the Faculty Evaluation Board and the Student Assist Committee have been working to smooth them out and organize a workable program. In general, problems encompass the mechanics of distribution and collection of data, the involvement of all the faculty, students, and classes, the cooperation of both students and faculty, both the wording of and directions for use of the questionnaire, the assist to faculty communications coupled with inadequate response, and manpower to enforce the entire program, which we hope will be a large program. Other areas of the study that have been reevaluated or added are the computer programming part, and we'd like to cut down on some of the computer time that's being involved. Organizing and compiling of the data, drafting more student workers, keeping the anonymity of the faculty, and procuring a clerk in the administration building for coding and decoding the identification of the data. As you have heard, last winter quarter we did go through with a pilot program using approximately 1% of the faculty and possibly one faculty member per department, and we used a distribution and collection procedure that we could definitely not use for a large scale covering the whole campus. We found many bugs in the program that we hope to rectify. That's why the pilot program was created. We found that we used monitors, student monitors, from each of the classes that were evaluated, and they came to a central point, collected the questionnaires, the IBM cards, and an instruction sheet before the evaluation was to take place, possibly one day before, and then took the material to the class the day the evaluation was to be taken place, and afterwards, it was supposed to take around 10 or 15 minutes, the instructor would seal the envelope with the IBM cards inside and endorse it, and therefore the data would be kept confidential, returned, and put through a data processing, and the finished product would come back to him in a listing of his so-called grades, and he himself alone would decide what to do about what he found out. Feedback was received from all participating instructors in this last pilot program, including constructive criticisms. We welcome all constructive comments so that we can improve the program. All people involved in the project would like to see ASSIST work into a permanent part of Cal Poly. Its intent is to improve the quality of instruction. The goal of perfection is never reached. Because of the great undertaking to reach all classes, probably half the faculty will be evaluated each year, so that every 2 years the total faculty will be evaluated. This is something that we have not really decided concretely, but it's a possibility. The first year faculty are exempt so as to give them a chance to adjust to their new environment. This fall, both general information and communications requiring replies will be sent to the faculty. We would appreciate a response from all. But by and large, the lines of communication from the faculty to ASSIST should always be kept open. Thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. The question asked of these four people was, what is assist? They've answered. Now, your opportunity to get a clarification if necessary. Do we have some questions? I don't see any hands popping up right away, but we do have a few more minutes, and so I'm going to threaten you. I want to go ahead with my threat, Roy, and then I'll call on you. It just so happens that I have seen and have read that most of the most recent issue of the Chronicle of Higher Education, which is a newspaper about the happenings in higher education, and there was a very fine article in there about the topic that we're speaking of, entitled When Students Rate Professors and Their Courses. And I want to encourage any and all of you to read that article. And if we don't get some questions, I'm going to give you some highlights from that. It's really a choice article that every one of you ought to read, but questions would be preferred. Roy.
First off, is this voluntary or not? I don't think that was clearly spelled out.
I can answer that.
George Mack.
Is this working? I can answer that. The procedures, as they've been approved by the Faculty Staff Council and the Student Affairs Council, say every instructor annually. So it's not voluntary, no.
Except the new instructor.
Now, one of the things that the board has been wrestling with, and Cindy mentioned this, is, first of all, we realize that it's a terrific job in terms of time and money to even do that. Secondly, we've been wondering whether it's appropriate, like new instructors and so on. And one of the things that the board discussed and has in its minutes is the suggestion that possibly at least new instructors, maybe not the first year. As I say, since there's no procedure for amending these policies, if we were to go strictly by them, the answer would be every instructor every year. I think it'll be the recommendation of the board that it be somewhat less than that, particularly, as Cindy said, not the new people.
Roy?
A little bit further along the line, let's make an assumption.
Louder.
That an instructor was in the lower, let's say, 10% the first time. And the second time is also in the lower 10%. Are there any attempts to assist that instructor to become a better one? Or what is the situation in that kind of...
Well, I think as Cindy and also Terry pointed out, the hope is that this will be a self-improvement program. There's to be no compulsion on the part of the instructor to do anything. I guess I should have brought the document along, but in the introduction to the document, there are several statements made by the students that this program, for example, realizes that the improvement of instruction is a faculty and administrative function, and that here it is right here. Thank you. Well, what I was going to say has to do with the ultimate responsibility for improvement of instruction and for evaluation and recommendation for retention and promotion of instructors still lies with the faculty and administration. And so this is the idea that unless the individual instructor did something about this, I guess the answer to your question would be nothing would happen. Now, the department head will receive the results, that is, the scores, for all of the people in his department, and presumably if an individual continued to remain with a lower rating, the department head and he would discuss this as a part of their regular evaluation and improvement that we hope goes on within their department.
Has that really been decided, George, that the department head will get the scores on everyone in his own department, or is it something that's up for grabs yet? Cindy mentioned that the thinking was that...
The Faculty Evaluation Board...
Cindy?
The Faculty Evaluation Board has been discussing all these different facets of the program that was passed. The Faculty Evaluation Board has been discussing the facets of the program that was passed, and there are changes to be made. So we can't say that this will definitely take place, that the department head will get a rundown of everybody, or just the top and bottom, or of anyone in his department, period.
All right, since this has not been decided, as a matter of fact, in my little note to myself, I want to be sure to thank the symposium participants, which I will do privately if I don't have an opportunity here. But I also want to say that they solicit your comments, your suggestions, your assistance. And so if you have any reasons why you think it ought to be one way or another, they will receive any suggestions very favorably.
Right. The document says here, a sealed envelope containing the lists of numbers of the upper and lower scoring faculty members is given to the department head. It also goes on to say, if the department head's code number is listed as one needing improvement, this information should be enough to initiate that improvement.
Question? Louder, please.
My experience teaches me that many teachers who would be in the top 10% in an American literature class with 25 students would be in the lower 10% in an American literature class with 50 students. Now, is there any built-in way of making allowances for teaching overload?
The answer is a real short one and brief one.
Would you repeat that question over the PA system?
Yes, I would, Dr. Philip Overmeyer. As best I can. Yes, I was rather distracted with that myself, so I'm not sure whether this is going to come out the way it came up or not, but he said that a student evaluating an instructor teaching an American Lit course with how many students?
25.
With 25 students might appear in the upper 10%, but if he taught a class of the same course with 50 or more students in it, he might end up in the bottom 10%. Right?
How about philosophy instructors?
Philosophy? How about philosophy instructors, he said. That's the question, and he said, is there any provision for teaching overload?
Is there any provision for making allowance?
Oh, any provision for making allowance for the poor instructor that gets saddled with a lot of students in his class?
You add 2 points for every student above 25.
Would you settle for $2 instead of 2 points? I think this is something that could be considered.
I guess an individual instructor could justify his scores almost any way he wanted to, and it might give him an opportunity or a talking point with his department head in saying, well, this makes it quite clear that I just can't teach these large classes.
Very good. Another question down here, sir. Did you all hear this? He says, I'm a new instructor, and he says, as a new instructor, he would like to be included in this, and if he's not included in it, he thinks he's being discriminated against. Okay. I'm quite sure that if you volunteer for it, that the committee will make provision for your being evaluated.
No question.
And I think there really are an awful lot of instructors here at Cal Poly who have done this, who have given out forms, who have encouraged their students to evaluate them, even in advance of the assist program. Warren Burgess.
Yes, if my president, can I evaluate the administration?
This is faculty evaluation.
Be my guest. Does anyone have a serious question?
Thank you.
Before we break up, if that's coming soon, I'd like to say that I'd be glad to stick around for a while and have a personal discussion with any of you who would like to talk about the program. I'd like to get in touch with you personally if I can.
Hey, don't stick around too long, because there's a program that's going to start over in the little theater at 1:45. And as a matter of fact, according to our timing, it said that we were supposed to end by 1:30. Is it a short question?
One comment.
Okay, comment, sir.
A matter of comment. I, having run evaluations of my own four years prior to this, I found that assist is the fastest way to get the thing done without sitting up nights tabulating your own list.
Ah, very good. All right, before breaking up, I have to share with you not all of the comments that I have down here from the September 2 issue of the Chronicle of Higher Education, but I want to share one quote. Student demands for a voice in hiring, firing, and evaluating faculty members are virtually certain to increase this year. Administrators and faculty members may find that the establishment of a viable student evaluation program may be an effective answer to such demands. And I do again want to thank the panel members or the symposium members for being here today. And I'm pleased with the presentations that they've made, and say thanks very much to them, and thanks for coming to the luncheon.
It's a pleasure in this kind of thing to get to meet the better students.
Thank you.